Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Or good afternoon. Connell here. And the show today is the show just having a little technical difficulties here. And so we're dealing with the problem of Biden being Joe Biden being declared the president. It's nothing to laugh at, but what else are we going to do? And so I am not sure what you guys feel like doing about it, but you know, if you think about it, you could go down and march down and go into the local voting establishment or go to City Hall, or you could show up and demand justice. You could go, you march down to the court, but I think that this kind of a thing, it's so far out of most people's understanding that they don't know what to do, and this is kind of unprecedented. So here's what I think the problem is. And you've got ballots that have been doubled in 11 states, doubled up in 11 states, sent out to 11 different states, every person who's a voter. So in all of these houses, you've got at least one ballot. Now, in many of them, you have two ballots because a number of these people went to listen or went to vote, and they went down to vote. So say in Las Vegas, you're supposed to bring in your where a friend of mine had called me from, you're supposed to bring in your ballots. You bring it in, they grab it, and then they throw it in a box. Well, what happens to all those ballots? I don't know. I don't think that you've got twice as many ballots being cast, but here's what the claim of a lot of people who've dealt with Democrat cities in the past for voting is: they retain a number of the ballots are set aside for fraud. Now, this is historic, and there have been presidential races that have been switched on this in places like Illinois, where you had JFK versus Nixon, and they claim that JFK used the ballots of dead people to get past Nixon. Now, the thing that's going on now is that in all of these states, and most people spent the day watching on the 3rd of November, they watched the day, spent the day watching the voting, probably towards the afternoon, evening. At first, Biden seemed to start out well, came on strong, and he got a number of ballots, a number of wins in these states. And he was doing very well in Pennsylvania. He was doing well in Michigan. He was up quite a bit in Michigan. He was ahead in Wisconsin. He was ahead in Georgia by quite a bit, in North Carolina. And then the first bad thing that happened is Arizona had not been open as long as these other states, and yet they immediately or very quickly said that the state was closed. Now, this came out of Fox News, which caught a lot of people off guard, because most people that are interested in politics don't want states called early if it looks like they might be in play. And in fact, Arizona was in play. I don't care what Fox News had stated. And, you know, one of the interesting things is that the people that were doing the the vote room, the nerd room, it was called by that guy that had been Bush's guru had called them the nerd room, but they came out and they were frivolous. They were acting very, in my opinion, acting very very just kind of, they seemed kind of irreverent. They can't kind of seem like I thought it was a joke. And so pardon me, I got one more little thing to take care of. So just so aggravating that these people are kind of, they're coming out and they're asking why they called Arizona, and they acted kind of surprised and said, well, that's just the way it is. And then they had this tall guy, he's kind of balding, tall guy came out, and they asked him some stuff, and he just had a big smile on his face, and he was very relaxed, and kind of stood back and leaned back, you know. And I thought, you know, I don't care how good these guys are, they are terrible. I mean, they're terrible to listen to. They're terrible to watch. They're terrible to hear Arizona. And so I think a lot of people got the feeling that Fox News had flipped, and they really, you know, and I just got something from Pam on my article at Canada Free Press. Please go there for the whole article, but anyway, it's just, it was infuriating to me. And so as a conservative, my whole life, I've felt like I've had to absorb the abuse of smart alecks, leftist smart alecks, Democrats or liberals or, you know, communists, socialists, whatever. And, you know, I try to keep the decorum and everything and not react, but I'm so tired of people who conservatism as a joke and look down at people and laugh at them. And so what I took from that is that they got these people that were, they didn't care anything about them, you know. I mean, they didn't care anything about us, I guess you would say. And so that was frustrating. And in addition to that, and I'm still fooling around with my earphones. I'm sorry, I have not been on the air regularly for 3 years, late in 2017 at Bravo Mike. So I'm still kind of getting my sea legs underneath me. But, you know, look, number one, it was so important to the people watching. It's so important to America's who wins the election, because number one, this guy that's been attacked for 4 years and is hated by the left, and they've done every sneaky thing known to man to try to get rid of this guy. And then they're shocked that we think that they're, you know, throwing a hoax on us. Number one. And then we were ahead in all these races in Minnesota and Michigan, maybe not Minnesota, but Michigan and Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina. And they never called any of these states in Pennsylvania. It was so frustrating. And then they just called Arizona right like halfway through it. So I went to bed anyway and woke up. And of course, the inevitable happens is Trump is starting to lose the race, you know. And so it was so frustrating. And then the creeping feeling that you always get as a conservative, they're stealing this, they're cheating. And I don't have to mention to you all the things that they cheated on, but the Russia investigation was an absolute hoax from beginning to end, and nobody got punished but except some attorney flunky, number one. Number two, the impeachment in which Biden's son was involved. He was the one who was involved in this, not Trump, but Trump still got impeached. And all the all of the sneaky and backstabbing stuff that they did to him, and Trump is working his heart out. Now, what's Trump's problem? I guess it's the same problem. There's two problems, three problems, I guess, that everybody has. Number one, that he's seen to be as rude. Now, somebody else told me that's just New York talking. Number two, he's very, very strong. And that scared the left, the Pelosi's, and so they decided hatred was the answer. So they have just gone out of their way to disrespect him and insult him from the before he got into office. And number three, he's been effective. Those three things kind of guaranteed that he was going to get pure hatred from beginning to end. But I kind of felt like they tried to get rid of him before he got into office. He's like a baby that they were trying to abort, and the baby grabbed the coat hanger there's sticking in there and pushed it back, and he fought his way out, and he's been fighting ever since. And so anyway, I want to get into some other stuff, but I want to talk about what Pam just sent me right now. An article exposing all mixed ways his election has been compromised can be read by Jim Hoft. And a so-called computer glitch fix in one of Michigan's counties led to 6,000 votes switching from Joe Biden to President Trump. The head of the Republican Party is asking additional 47 counties be recounted after the fix, since these 47 counties also use the same Dominion software. Dominion software glitch only took votes from President Trump and Republicans. Also, Dominion software was used in every swing state. Listen, kids, Nevada, Arizona, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, all of those states that they're coming after us on, pardon me, that we're trying to fight. So this is very, very fascinating. Trump's attorney stated, and she quotes here, Pam, the flawed Dominion software was stealing votes from the President Trump. The 30 states may be forced to do hand recounts. There is more fraud explained in said article as well. So if proof is reputed, then this article is correct. The corrections need to be taking place ASAP. This is serious, and the Americans that want transparency will need to see this through, or half the population will never trust the election results again. This very well could be the biggest criminal fraud in history, biggest string operation demo style. It's reputed. God, we want heads to roll for once in the last 20 years. Crooks in high places, minions. We want accountability for that, kids, and we want it now. One would only pray it should be so. And so that's another problem. And pardon me, I probably have 3 years of frustrations here, but you know what? I am really very, very, very upset that when Trump was in there, and I know he wanted to prosecute these people, and Attorney General Barr didn't do it. He came in like he was a tough guy, and I realized he's an old panda. He's an old panda bear that just sits in his cage and just chews on his paws all day. And he sent out this guy, Durham. And, you know, these guys are like a comedy duo. You know, the big fat Barr and then skinny Durham. And what's the name of those? Not Bonnie and Clyde, but so... You know, I just am so frustrated. Like, you know, you're a conservative, you try to be nice to people, and then you're insulted and you're told what garbage you are. You try to respond with love or respect or whatever. And then all of these people are going after Trump, and people are putting down Trump for getting angry and lashing out, but nobody's happening to the criminals. I mean, Trump's not the criminal here. All right, so let me go back to my article and just give you a little bit out of it, because I think there's some things in it you might want to know. There is a claim that Biden was given 65,000 Biden-only ballots in Wisconsin. Now, think about this. If this Dominion software is doing this, then I don't know. I mean... That suddenly makes sense all of a sudden, doesn't it? 11 states sent ballots to all voters. 14 states sent application to all voters. So you're in your house. You're a person who always votes. One day you see this ballot. It shows up. And you're like, wow, well, this I could mail it in. But if you go to vote, you're in a lot of these places, you're supposed to bring this ballot with you. I assume all of them. So you bring these ballots and you hand them over. Well, what happens to these ballots? Well, if the people who are running things want these ballots to be submitted, what's going to happen? You know? So, all right, you wonder if there's mistakes. 2020 mail-in ballot. In Virginia, 500,000 false ballot applications were sent out. In Ohio, 50,000 ballots were wrong. In New York, 100,000 ballots had names and addresses printed incorrectly. Michigan, 400 postal ballots listing the wrong VP. How does that happen? And so Jimmy Carter had said that the number one source of voting fraud is mail-in ballots. It's obvious. It's just, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. So see here, I'm going to look up this Jim Hoft and see if I can find this article. But, you know, there's just a lot, you know, there's the sense that none of these people will ever get in trouble. They did whatever they wanted. And Jim Hoft is at the pundit, the Gateway Pundit. And I'm going to look up voter fraud right here on him. But so What they're saying is a lot of different things here, but I'm seeing massive dump of over 200 votes in Michigan. Now, where do they get this information from? I don't know, but it's exactly what I'm saying. Ballots showing up for Biden overnight. So let me ask you this. Is Dominion software, is it a virus? Is it a virus that just turns everything into Biden? And I regret I haven't heard more about this, but voter fraud in Wisconsin, massive dump of over 100,000 ballots for Biden, all of a sudden appear overnight. So I don't really know. I mean, the opinion of this person, this Jim Hoft guy, seriously, because the fact of the matter is there has to be a reason why votes would just be on one side. Why they have to show. So why did they have to close down? Why did they have to close down these voting polls? Doesn't make any sense. I've never seen that done before. On the first night of counting, you have to shut everything up. That makes it seem like they were doing fraud. And if they would go after at the highest levels of the FBI, and Biden was involved in this, and Obama was involved in this, and Hillary is the one who paid for it with the Steele dossier, they had to, the highest level, they were ready to falsify. What's the difference between that and the vote? I mean, I consider it to be the same thing. They want to get rid of them. And, okay, so I want to get back to the some of the statistics that I think you'll find very interesting here. A 2014 study by Jesse Richmond, who's a political professor from Old Dominion University. He says in 2008, non-citizen votes for Senate candidate Al Franken likely gave the Senate Democrats the pivotal 60th vote needed to overcome filibusters in order to pass health care reform. Obamacare, in other words. And this destroyed trillions of dollars of private money. Now, Heritage, the Heritage Company Society, whatever it's called, they said there were 1,298 recent cases of voter fraud with 1,121 convictions. In the 2018 North Carolina primary, there was a rerun after a Republican in this case, consultant, tampered with the vote. Now listen to this. Richmond's study stated at least 38,000 ineligible voters and as many as 2.8 million cast ballots in the 2008 election, meaning the blue wave that put Obama in office and expanded Democrats' control of Congress would have been built on sand. So, going on in Philadelphia. Now, this is probably the craziest one in terms of the decisions by higher officials. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that late ballots would be counted, even though the legislature said that they wouldn't be, which means that the judicial system is taking authority that they're not given. Pat Toomey, the senator in PA, said that the Supreme Court there went rogue and that they could be responsible for Trump losing there. So in many of these places, no poll watchers were allowed. Problem there? Well, I've done poll watching before. What you do is you study all the ballots that are coming out and you look for mistakes and say a missing signature, a wrong address, that type of thing. So, you know, they had not only didn't allow poll watchers in, but I think this is the place where they took cardboard and put it up on the window so nobody could see. And so if voting is supposed to be an open, and, you know, the United States, you've heard this before, and I'm going to bring it up again. There is two parties, the Democrats and Republicans. Put those aside. You have the idea of the Democrats, or the Democratic process is what? It is one person, one vote. That's what it means. You know, what does Republican mean? Republicanism. Republicanism is the idea that self-government is the way to freedom. And in this country, we have a republic. Democratic Constitutional Republic is what it's always called. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything more than demands transparency. When you've got these groups and they say, well, you can't know about this, it's secret. We don't have a secret country. We have an open country. And so when these people are going in, and these are just, you know, these people that are going in, they're just, you know, hourly workers. They're going in there and they're being told, you don't let these poll watchers in. And in addition, you you put cardboard over the door, which is just frustrating to hear about, right? So my conclusion in this was that, you know, the thing to do is to get the Supreme Court of the United States to agree to do a large-scale revision of this. Now, here's the problem. Large-scale investigation to see what happened. Now, the problem is, number one, it's not the Supreme Court's job to do this, but I would argue it is because it's a crisis. It's destroying our sense of democracy. Number two, the voting laws are by state, but a state doesn't have a right to do something that is unconstitutional, correct? Nothing is supposed to break the Constitution. So what we are looking at here is unconstitutional actions depriving people of their rights. So Trump has a right to run for president and not have a bunch of ballots brought in and stuffed in there. And I think if you're going to do this, say you had 50,000 or 100,000, 200,000 ballots, you bring them in and you mix them in with everything else so nobody can find them. So when they go back, they don't find, well, geez, the last 50 or 100,000 votes were all for Biden. Do you think that happened on accident? I mean, think about this. Flipping a coin. What if you flipped a coin and it came up heads 100 times in a row? Wouldn't you think there's something wrong with this coin? And now how about 1,000? You'd know there's something wrong with the coin, right? How about 100,000? How about 200,000? So they mix them in so you can't find them. Now, here's one thing that you could do. I believe you could go back and look at the turned in mail ballots and see if that same person had voted again. It seems like you have to do that in all of these cases. Now, I know that's a pain in the butt, but I mean, on the other hand, what's the purpose of the court, purpose of voting? If you treat everything like this as kind of a joke, then there's no reason to have a republic anymore. You know? And I mean, so think about this. Republicanism is finding a way to do things with the most possible transparency, the most possible self-government. So nobody should go in, the government should never go in and take away the rights or do things that the citizens are supposed to do. And so I mean, I've got another message here. Giuseppe. Biden is the media declared winner. So right there is another one of my problems. Why in the hell is it up to Fox News, which is no longer conservative, apparently? I'm just stating the obvious. Where in our American Constitution does it say anything about winners of a presidential election being determined by media, and the process is so riddled by fraud, lies, traitorous, and seditious activity, as well as ongoing unpunished violence, theft, and murder? Only those working for the destruction of the United States of America could make such a statement. The stakeholders, i.e. the Democracy Rat Party and its useful idiots, the media. And here is James. We can expect there'll be maximum effort to prevent scrutinized recounts. The crooked elite hatred of Trump's only rival by their contempt for the common man. All right, let me get into something more here. And I don't know if anybody's listened to this podcast. I mean, I haven't done it for so long, but you know, if anybody's listening, probably not. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter. But, you know, because you can come in later and listen to it. But, you know, here's the thing. Is there something that has happened in this country? And what has happened is that there has been some sort of a, you know, bear with me here. Because it's kind of hard to describe, but all right. So we had a Christian country in the sense that in 1627 or whenever they landed at Plymouth, somewhere around there, 1623, whatever it was, they were on the Mayflower and they were trying to figure out how to run the country. And this is very fascinating, and you won't hear this from too many places. I don't think a lot of people really know about the Mayflower. They know in general, but they don't know specifically about the first colony that was successful. Jamestown was unsuccessful, and it was abandoned later. And the thing is that they're on this boat. And so who was on the Mayflower? The Mayflower had a group of people that we would call Puritans. And I guess they called them Puritans back there, but they were also pilgrims. They weren't called pilgrims then. They're called pilgrims a number of years later. But they were Puritans. Half of them were Puritans. Now, who were the Puritans? They disliked the fact that the Church of England was in the form of the Church of Rome. And they didn't want leadership down. They wanted local churches to be in control of themselves. It's very fascinating, you know, what these guys were into. They wanted religious freedom, but that's half of them. That's half the boat. And a lot of these people had left England to avoid persecution from the government and the church, the Anglican church. And so they moved over to live in Amsterdam and places like that. So then they finally get this boat and they're going to move here. Well, the boat was only half full of Puritans, so they had to sell tickets or berths on the boat. And when they did it, they just took anybody. So there were, you know, there were people on there that were not especially religious who just wanted it to start over in a new place. And there was even a black person on there. He was described as a blackamoor, but he was a black person who, he may have been a slave and bought his freedom, or he might have just been a black person living in England, but he was there. So the beginning of the country was not racist, because this guy was living in Plymouth. So they put this compact together, this Plymouth compact, and it was like a little constitution, and everybody agreed to it. And that's like the first, you know, they say that John Locke's idea of a constitution is unrealistic because it's always adopted afterwards. But in this case, we adopted this before we came ashore, and it's a very interesting document. It basically accepts the idea that the society from the very beginning was not going to be Christian across the board, right? Because you've got Christians and non-Christians that are in this thing. And so I recently read this thing about some of the punishments that they did, and there was punishments in there for adultery. And I don't, at that time they weren't burning people's foreheads or whatever with, or making them wear a letter A, I don't think, but there was some punishment for being gay. There was punishment for being, you know, for theft, but it wasn't really over the top, you know? So it was kind of fascinating. Imagine yourself there, 350 years ago, 400 years ago. And can you imagine putting together something that becomes the foundation for the greatest country in history, and you've got 50 or 100 people there signing it? And so it was just kind of cool, you know? And so anyway, that period, and the first laws tended to be based on the Bible. And that later changed, obviously, but what you ended up having was a pretty Christian foundation for the country and for years and decades. And the church that was involved, call them Puritans, but they were Congregationalists. And they were the church that had fought back against the Anglicans, and then they had been ejected. And the guy named Brown, who started the church, Robert Brown, and they used leadership by elders in the church, and that became later the foundation for one person, one vote. We didn't get that idea from Greece or Rome. It was, you know, the idea was already out there, but we got it from the Congregationalists because it worked so well. But anyway, there's been something that's happened, and there's a lot of reasons behind it. And some of them, as we have been teaching children in schools for decades and decades, that education is purely secular. What do you think that causes people to believe? It causes them to believe that there is no God, because we don't even talk about it in school. And you can discuss the different, you know, the separation of church and state, but it was originally believed that there would be a church, or that people would be influenced by church. And even Franklin, who was not a Christian, said that, you know, you needed Christianity to get people, to encourage people to act in a moral or ethical way without threatening them. So now we've gotten to the point where you've got so many people in the country that are liberals, or they're atheists, they're agnostics, and they deeply resent, many of these people deeply resent Christians. And the upshot is that you've allowed the children in the country in public school and then in universities, you've allowed them to be taught that the best way to act is socialism. Now, you might say, you know, socialism doesn't have any credibility. Well, socialism is probably the number one influence in the entire world on how people put government programs together. It is certainly true that it's not successful. Look at Venezuela, which was the wealthiest out there. Now, I've got somebody who's calling in. Let's see if I can bring him in. Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, Kelly, I can hear you.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
I just... This is a new program since I was last on here regularly. Can you hear me? Well, I don't see anything happening when I can't hear anybody. So if you're, I'm going to write down your number and call you after the show to apologize because I can't hear anything. You can go ahead and talk if you want. I can't hear anything.
Hi, Kelly. Hello, Kelly.
Your number here, and I will have this fixed by the next show. But I'm going to assume that you called up to agree with everything I was saying, but I do apologize. Mm-hmm. Area code number 416. So, and we've got about 12 minutes left here, but, you know, something has happened and the political has turned into the personal and has become religious, and that's why people fight so hard. And they don't like Trump. They hate his guts. And, you know, it's just absolutely terrible. I'm going to hold on a second here. I have something turned off on the phone. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can.
Who is this?
Hi, Kelly. It's Judy McLeod.
Judy, sorry about that. I had, because there was a little bit of an echo when I turned it off. I don't know how much you've listened to, but if you would just care to comment for a few moments, I'd love to hear it.
Well, I just wanted to comment that I think that you are, you're obviously, you're terrific. You're one of the very best Canada Free Press columnists. And I'm so glad that you're back on air. I know you had your own radio show for quite a long time. And I love it how you apply the legalities to this horrible situation we now find ourselves in. Corruption, media calling elections when they have no right to. So basically, I just wanted to say that to you, Kelly. Are you still there?
I'm listening.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think that your column was spot on today. I love the best part when you said that now that Biden is media declared the winner, with so many problems in this awful race that has gone down since Tuesday in these so-called recount, you say in your column today, we should demand the Supreme Court of the U.S. enter and fact-check the problems in each of the last close cases. And I love this the best of all. Apply the Constitution, Kelly O'Connell says. Use due process. Withdraw all late or incomplete ballots, and all problems will be solved. Amen. Are you there still? Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome.
There's an echo.
Oh, there's an echo, yes. And the only other thing I have to say to anyone listening, I know I don't have to say it to you, Kelly, we should never, never give up.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in. When I figure out what I'm doing wrong with the echo, I want to have you back on and get some, pick your brain some more.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, Kelly.
Thanks for
all over
the hard
and
work
out
you
for
do.
Now. Pardon
Thanks
me?
Thanks for all the hard work you do on Canada Free Press, because I know it's a labor of love, and you're about the last truly free publication out there.
Thank you,
okay,
Kelly.
Thank you, Judy.
Well, okay, all right.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so we got that first call in there, but the brand new program here, it's pretty nice at Blog Talk Radio. But now let me turn this thing off. Hopefully there is something coming through. There must be, because Judy was talking, but I'm turning off my board mic in my computer. So there's no echo, and I'm just hoping that it doesn't echo. But anyway, I'll get it figured out. But this is what we're dealing with. It's a real religion. We know Christianity is a real religion. Christianity and Judaism, real religions. And then you've got a fake religion that's based on humanism. And that fake religion is not interested in the Bible. It's not interested in other religions. It's really, really interested in humanism. And humanism is not a religion. You know, humanism has different definitions. One definition was, the original definition is the belief system of the ancient Romans and Greeks, and it's the classical worldview. And we use it differently today. We talk about humanism being seeing things not through religion, rejecting religion, and seeing life through human values and philosophers. And the problem with that is that, you know, philosophy doesn't really deal with the same issues as religion. It doesn't. It can speculate on what the purpose of life is, but it doesn't really have much to say about the afterlife, even though many, many, many humanists will tell you that there is no afterlife and you need to just focus on this life where we're at here. So it has an inability to value individuals because it is focused on society. So, you know, this situation where they want us to become globalists, the end result of that is going to be that we, and I mean, most people understand this, even the left just celebrates it, actually, we are going to all have to sacrifice personally so that the rest of the world can come up to our level. And the problem with that is that's not where wealth or science or technology or art or any of these other things that we value, literature and so many more, that's not where that comes from. Have one country just decide it's going to give all these things to other things, to other societies. It's got to be developed within a healthy society. And so you see the art in the greatest Western art comes out of, you know, it comes out of Russia, it comes out of Germany, it comes out of Britain, it comes out of France. Ireland and such. And so this enriches us, but it's a reflection, it's a commentary on the society. And so that's where we get great literature from Shakespeare forward. We believe in human nature. And human nature is human ability, human ingenuity, but it's more than that. Human nature is the tendencies that humans have, and there's a broad spectrum of it, but the reason that art lasts, the reason that people are still reading the Journal of the Plague Year by Daniel Defoe or Robinson Crusoe, or they're still reading Shakespeare's sonnets, or they are still marveling at the great paintings of the masters, is because there is something that's said about human nature, about people, that is put in these things, and so we read it and we discover something about ourselves. And so you can't just download that to another culture. I mean, in trying to do that, you're going to destroy the art, the artists, and the art in your own culture. And if you look at leftism, leftism abuses every art form. If you look at modern art, it came out of leftism. There was a decision to make to update art by turning it into an aspect of Marxism or leftism of some kind. I know that's hard to believe, but if you buy the Cambridge short introduction to modern art, you'll find that is listed as a fact in there. So, you know, it's very scary. It's very sad to see what's going on here. You've got this lady, Kamala Harris, who is about to become the president of the United States, and who knows where her instincts will take her. If you listen to her laughter, it's terrifying. But so I think that, you know, summing this up, we've got to stick to our guns. We have to, and I don't say that as a call to arms, but we have to stick with Trump and try to support him until it's not viable anymore. But, this idea that we're going to give up and we are going to, you know, this terrible thing that the friends of Trump did as soon as he said it, he didn't accept the outcome. There was a rejection of him, and it's terrible, just terrible to listen to. You know, it's so awful to see these people the way they've treated him. And Trump may be a difficult person to love at times, but he's been a great friend to America. He's really done a lot to build up this country. And so the show's over. I do appreciate you coming in to listen, and I'll take you out with a little bit of Summer Days. Thank you. Kelly O'Connell Show. Ciao.